Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you were right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You don't delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, O God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Welcome to church, and my name's Richard. I'm one of the pastors here. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series together in the Holy Spirit. But as a kind of lead into that, we're going to look at Psalm 51 together this week. If you think it's hot at the moment, it is. I know that. It is 1 degree hotter in Chad, where Hannah is at the moment. So there we are. That's how hot it is here at the moment. And we can get a sense. And I think it's pretty cool for them there as well. So for those of you who aren't aware, she did arrive back at 4 a.m. this morning and safely back to Chad. So that's great, isn't it? Answer to prayer there. So please have Psalm 51 open in front of you. And let me pray again just before we come to God's word. Father, thank you for the way your word touches into the very recesses of our hearts and puts its finger on the areas where we need to consider and change. Lord, it's a hot day and we're not used to this, but we pray that you'd help us to really concentrate on your word now. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do his work in opening our eyes to wonderful things in your word this morning. Teach us, train us, rebuke us, correct us, we ask, that we might leave this place different. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me start by asking a question. If you're taking a break over the next few weeks, what are you hoping to get out of it? We look forward to holidays, don't we? Because they're a chance to interrupt the cycle of work and routine and get some rest. But as well as physical and emotional refreshment, holidays are also a unique opportunity for spiritual refreshment and renewal. And after the year we've just had, the 17 months or so we've just had, I would guess most of us feel the need for spiritual refreshment. Spiritual renewal isn't something we think about very much, but it's a biblical idea and it's something we all need. We recently created a new church ministry plan for the next 4 years. You may not be aware, but we've had one for the last 6 years. And we have a new one for the next 4 years. It seemed the right moment to do that. Recovering from a pandemic, about to send out folk to a new church plant. And the main theme of that new ministry plan is renewal. as we start the slow process of recovery from the pandemic, which is going to take months, potentially years, and also as we send out some of our number to church plant in Droitwich, we're entering a new season of church life. And with that in mind, our new ministry plan sets out two ministry priorities for the next 4 years, both of which are built around this theme of renewal. By 2025, we long to see a renewal of gospel growth and gospel relationships across the church. Now, if you want to know more about that ministry plan, do drop me an email. I'm very happily send you a summary of some of the ways we envisage that those two priorities can be embedded into church life and progressed over the next 4 years. And we are looking for you to have input into that as well, and engage with it and give us ideas as well. But look, as we work towards a renewal of church life over the next few years, we mustn't lose sight at the same time of our ongoing need for personal renewal as individual believers. And the summer is a good time to think about that. If you're a Christian, if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then you've been made new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are a new person if you've put your trust in Jesus. But at the same time, Paul also says that believers go through a lifelong process of ongoing spiritual renewal. For example, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says we're to put to death our earthly nature and put on our new self, which, he says, is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then on the one hand, you've been made definitively new. But at the same time, you're also being progressively renewed day by day as you submit to Jesus as Lord on a day-by-day basis. Or to use more theological language, while you're justified, you are being sanctified. And so ongoing spiritual renewal should be a priority for every Christian. It should be something that we give deliberate attention to and thought to. And look, holidays are a good opportunity to do that. As we take a break from the routines of life and have time and space to think and read and reflect and be refreshed. Because while God's Spirit is the one who does the work of renewal, we're going to be thinking about that over the next few weeks, we have a part to play in the process. And we see that in Psalm 51. Because this is a psalm all about personal renewal. King David's experience in Psalm 51 is a classic example of a prayer for spiritual renewal and restoration. And the good news for us today is that if renewal and restoration was possible for David after what he'd done, it's also possible for you and me as well, however we might be feeling. Because while at the cause of our lack of spiritual vitality might not be the same as it was for David, the route to personal renewal is the same for all of us. And for our purpose, therefore, Psalm 51 is best split into two parts. In the first half, we're given a portrait of spiritual depression. And the challenge of these verses for us today is this: be honest. David is in a bad place at the beginning of the psalm. He feels spiritually depressed. He feels distant from God. And we see the reason for that in the preface to the psalm, which is equally as much a part of the Bible as the psalm itself. Look at the preface before verse 1. For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. King David wrote Psalm 51 just after the scandal of his affair with Bathsheba had come to light. We read all about that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David arranged the battlefield death of Bathsheba's husband so that he could have her for himself. It was a terrible act of murder and adultery and abuse of power. But then, to make matters worse, he tried to cover it up, or to live as if it hadn't happened. But God had seen what David did. And so he sent the prophet Nathan to confront him. And in a devastating encounter, David is convicted of his sin, and he confesses his guilt. And we see something of the guilt that he felt in verses 1 to 6, don't we, of Psalm 51. Look at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb and taught me wisdom in that secret place. Nathan, in that encounter, faces David up to his hypocrisy. And in response, you can see that David comes under deep conviction. He's honest about his sin. He doesn't try and cover it up anymore. And the guilt that he feels is clear, isn't it? If ever there was a man who needed spiritual renewal, it was David. And yet, unsurprisingly, the key symptom of his spiritual depression is a loss of joy. Just look at verse 7. Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. David experiences a crushing loss of joy. That's the key symptom of his spiritual depression. It's interesting, the impression we're given at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 11 is that life pretty much carried on as normal for David until Nathan confronted him. When Bathsheba's husband was killed in battle, she came to live with him, and things just seemed to carry on as normal. I'm sure there continue to be banquets and celebrations, and news from the front lines continue to be good, and Israel continue to know success on the battlefield. But any happiness that David experienced was superficial. He'd lost the joy that came from a vibrant relationship with God. And when Nathan confronts him and exposes his true spiritual condition, he realizes that. He is a guilty man. He's been harboring sin. He needs to repent and seek God's forgiveness and grace. And so he asks God to wash him clean and to blot out his sin. Now, we need to say, to pause for a moment, step back and say that unconfessed sin isn't the only reason we might lack joy or feel distant from God. If you're in that place at the moment, it's not only unconfessed sin that causes that. Maybe sin isn't the issue for you. Maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. Well, we can lose our spiritual vitality for a whole host of other reasons, such as tiredness or stress or illness or loss or bereavement or work or family pressures that bear down on us or confusion or anxiety about the future or tension or conflict in our relationships. Or just a relentless grind of life. All of these can affect our sense of daily joy as believers and make us feel spiritually jaded and depressed. But regardless of the cause, David shows us here that the route to restoration and renewal starts with brutal honesty. It starts with us being honest about where we are with God and the state of our hearts. For David, that was prompted by an unwelcome visit from a friend who exposed his sin, and maybe some of us need that. Is there unconfessed sin in our hearts, sinful patterns, behaviours, attitudes that have lodged in our hearts that need dealing with? For David, it was an unwelcome visit from a friend that exposed that. But it can also be prompted, this reflection, by the welcome opportunity of time away when we have the space to reflect. David shows us here that the first step towards personal spiritual renewal is to be honest. To be honest about the state of our hearts and our walk with the Lord. So let me ask you, how vibrant is your walk with the Lord at the moment? How is your sense of joy and thankfulness in the gospel? How is your love for him and your love for his people at the moment? Be honest, like David, be honest with yourself and with God. That's what David does in the first half of this psalm, and it was the first step towards personal spiritual renewal. But it's not the last step, because he also prays. Secondly, we also see here a prayer for spiritual restoration. And I guess the challenge for us in David's example here is to be intentional. Do you notice where David's prayer starts in verse 1? His prayer for restoration starts not in his own determination to change things, but on God's unchanging character. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. David comes to God on the basis of his mercy and compassion, his unfailing grace towards undeserving people, the sort of grace that was communicated through that parable that Jesus told, that Abby so helpfully kind of shared with us earlier, the prodigal son, the father who looks for the lost son, and the arrogant son who chases both of them in different ways. That's the foundation for the prayer David prays in this, the second half of this psalm, the grace of God towards losers. David asks for six things to be renewed from verses 10 to 19. And what he prays here, I just think, is a helpful prompt for our prayers. So in which one or two, let's be realistic, we can't remember them all, in which one or two of the following areas that David homes in on in the second half of this psalm, do you need spiritual renewal? Do you need to say, Lord, help me with this? Firstly, David asks for a renewed heart. Look at verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God. The Hebrew word for create there is the same one used in the first verse of the Bible when it says God created the heavens and the earth. David asks God to recreate his heart so that it is pure again. In verse 7, a few verses before, he'd asked to be washed whiter than snow and made clean again. It's a continuation of that idea. And look, this is always part of spiritual renewal, a renewed awareness of God's forgiveness, of God's acceptance, of God's grace in Jesus. It starts there. Is that something you need to ask for? A renewed heart, a renewed sense of your forgiveness, of grace in Jesus. Then secondly, David prays for a renewed spirit. Look at the second half of verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Our English word steadfast comes from an old English word which means fixed place. And that is actually a good, helpful translation of this Hebrew word that's used here for steadfast. David asked that he might have a spirit that's fixed in one place, that doesn't wander from God, that's anchored to him. So often we lose our sense of spiritual vitality because we get fixed on other things, often good things, but things that take precedence in our hearts. But David asks God to help him be pure of heart and single-minded, to be firmly fixed on him above all else. And if we want to be spiritually renewed, we need to ask for the same thing. Lord, renew my spirit so that my heart is fixed on you and you alone. Is that what you need to be praying? Then thirdly, David asks for renewed assurance. Look at verse 11. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Now look, as believers who live this side of Pentecost, as we're going to be seeing in the next few weeks, we don't need to fear that the Holy Spirit will be taken from us. That was a fear that believers in the Old Testament had. We don't need to have that fear. Paul told the Ephesians they were sealed with the Holy Spirit, that he is a deposit guaranteeing their salvation. But while we can't lose God's Spirit if we're genuine believers, we can lose a sense of assurance that comes from his close presence with us. And so, like David, we can and should regularly pray for a renewed assurance of our salvation, of God's acceptance of us, of his presence with us by his Spirit because of Jesus. Renewed assurance, is that something you need to be praying for? Then fourthly, David prays for renewed joy. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Let me feel again the delight of being saved, David says. Help me feel again how amazing grace is. Let me never become complacent about that. Just go, oh yeah, well, I'm saved. I don't want to be downcast or miserable anymore. Looking at myself, I want to be full of the joy that should characterize a forgiven child of God. In a new book that Rico Tice has just written, he says this, evangelist Rico Tice says this, the emotional marker of knowing you're a forgiven sinner is joy. The joy of gratitude when I see both my sin and the gospel clearly, the joy of the Lord really is my strength and I'm ready to serve, not because I have to, but because I get to. Let's read the first bit of that again, because there was a bit of a distraction there, wasn't there? The emotional marker of knowing you're a forgiven sinner is joy. That is a helpful insight. I wonder, have you lost your joy? The joy of your salvation as a believer. The sheer delight of being a saved, forgiven child of God. Sometimes we capture it, don't we, when we sing some of these songs, or when we sing them in our hearts anyway, when we're together. Music has a wonderful way of just tapping into that, doesn't it? It's why it's been so hard together, hasn't it, these last months. It's why some of us have found it helpful to express that physically. It's why others of us have sing in the car at times some of these songs, or at home. But don't we need to recover that joy of being a forgiven child of God? Spiritual renewal always includes a restored sense of the joy of our salvation. Maybe we need to be praying for that. Then fifthly, David prays for a renewed desire to serve. Verse 12 again, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. In contrast to the grudging and reluctant spirit, give me a renewed desire to serve you, Lord, David says. Rather than my heart sinking when I'm asked to do something. Give me an enthusiastic volunteer spirit. That's how one commentator gives these verses. An enthusiastic volunteer spirit, so I serve gladly. I suspect many of us need that at the moment, don't we? In verse 13 and 14, David goes on to particularly focus on a renewed desire to serve through witness and worship. Look at verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You see, while renewal starts in the heart, it doesn't stay there. It's never only an internal thing. It's always seen externally. We've been seeing that in James, haven't we? It's a similar theme to James. Like faith, spiritual vitality is seen in practice. It's lived inside out. It's marked by a renewed desire to serve and witness and worship. A new love for the Lord. I wonder, is that an area where you need to seek spiritual renewal? But this new desire to serve is also accompanied, lastly, by a renewed sense of humility. Because as David says in verses 16 and 17, restoration is impossible without renewed brokenness. Brokenness might seem a bit of an odd thing to pray for. Surely we need renewed confidence, not renewed brokenness. But in verse 16, David shows us that brokenness marks out those who are walking closely with God. An awareness of our need of him. Verse 16, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings, in the stuff that I do. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Renewal starts as we come to God with an awareness of our need of him, our dependency on him, with our heads bowed, as it were, and admit that we're broken. We can't do it on our own, that we need him. That we need him to restore us, that we need him just to live the next day or so. And wonderfully, when we come to him, do you see the grace of God here? He does not despise us. So often, we despise broken, needy people. God never despises people like that. He won't turn us away. He is a God of grace, who loves to restore broken people like you and me. And so David concludes in verse 18 with a lovely picture. He says, may it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Do you notice in verse 16 he says, you don't delight in sacrifice, you don't delight in burnt offerings. And then in verse 19 he says, you do delight in the sacrifices and burnt offerings. What's the difference? It is the attitude. It is the brokenness that makes the difference. Like a broken city restored to prosperity. That's the image there, isn't it? God loves to restore broken people. It's what he does so well. He welcomes back prodigals. He restores. Throws the robe on. Puts the ring on the finger. Puts the sandals on the feet. Throws the party. Isn't that good news? However we're feeling this morning, that is why Jesus came. In Jesus, God came to forgive our sin and restore us to himself. On the cross, Jesus paid the price to make us new. And if we live with him as our Lord, we are renewed day by day by day by day. As we live with him as Lord, as he works in our hearts by his Spirit. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. heard an interesting statistic this week, which I chased down. According to scientists, our bodies almost completely renew themselves every 7 to 10 years. Some parts renew themselves quickly. For example, the cells in the lining of our stomach renew themselves every 5 days. And our skin renews itself every 2 to 4 weeks. Whereas other parts of our bodies take longer to renew themselves. For example, our liver cells take around 2 years to be renewed, and our bone cells take around 10 years to be renewed. But apparently, over the course of 7 to 10 years, almost every part of our bodies are renewed. But in Psalm 51, David reminds us that what happens to us physically also needs to happen to us spiritually. If we're to be healthy disciples of Jesus, we need ongoing spiritual renewal in our relationship with the Lord. So this summer, why not ask God to refresh and restore and renew your passion for Him? Ask Him to give you a renewed heart, a renewed spirit, a renewed assurance, renewed joy, a renewed desire to serve and witness and worship, and a renewed sense of brokenness, of your utter dependency on Him. The sort of dependency that doesn't mean we turn our heads in shame, but that we run to Him, like prodigal sons returning home. Because David shows us this is the route to renewal. Let's pray, shall we, as the musicians come up. Father, thank you that when we put our trust in Jesus, we are made new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. But thank you that this is not the end of our renewal. Thank you that you've given us your Spirit to renew us day by day as we submit to you and live with Jesus as our Lord. So we pray that each one of us here might have that attention to that issue in this coming weeks and months, that we might be spiritually renewed and refreshed and restored. Help us to be honest with you about the state of our hearts, our walk with you. Maybe honest with others as well, so that we can be accountable. And help us to be intentional about investing time in seeking you, by making time to think and pray and reflect, by putting in place new habits and patterns that will cultivate our love for you, by reading good Christian books such as those we've mentioned already today that will challenge us and help us to grow and take us back to the gospel again and again and again, and by confessing sin if we've been harboring that in our hearts. Work in our hearts and lives this summer, we pray, that we might be inwardly renewed day by day and full of the joy of our salvation. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.